are listening to the Eurofolk Radio Network at eurofolkradio.com. And now, it's the Andrew Carrington Hitchcock Show with your host, Andrew Carrington Hitchcock.
Hello, everybody. And returning with me today is a good friend, a very popular guest on this show, great contributor, got excellent websites out there, research and all sorts of information. That is Dr. Erik Karlstrom, and we're going to be doing part one of a series on the phony war on terror. So I'm going to bring him up right now. Erik, are you with me?
I'm with you, Andy. Good to be with you, and greetings from Colorado.
Excellent. Well, folks, Erik has, as always, done a lot of preparation for this show with his research materials, and I've kind of dropped something on him today because this show, as you know, listening to it, is going out on September the 11th. Of course, the phony war on terror is related to that, but as Erik will tell you shortly, it started long before that. But one thing that I want to do, as you all know, we're seeing all sorts of material scrubbed off the internet. Things like the Barbara Lerner Spectre speech, they've been being shut down each time they pop up. And the 9/11 Fox News footage, the Carl Cameron reports that I refer to in my book, The Synagogue of Satan, are a must-have for any 9/11 researcher, because for some reason the mainstream news, Fox News, let these reports out. They're about 4 to 5 minutes each. Someone has put them on a YouTube, and you can see on the YouTube that it's actually off a video cassette. So they've recorded them off television. They were completely wiped from the Fox News archives, and so I imagine they will be wiped from the internet very soon. So I will include the YouTube link to those in the post for this show, and we're going to play them in their entirety. They're about 19 minutes long, and then get Eric's comments. But before we do, how would you like to lead us into this show, Erik, part one on the phony war on terror?
Yeah, let me just give a little personal anecdote here. I taught 30 years at three universities, and most recently at California State University, Stanislaus, from 1990 to 2011 when I retired, and then turned my attention to these kinds of issues with my websites, 911nwo.com, naturalclimatechange.org, gangstalkingmindcontrolcults.com, San Luis Valley Waterwatch.com, and my music site, erickarlstrom.com. And one of the interesting courses I taught at California State University, Stanislaus, was a course called Human Ecology. And I thought this was really kind of a great opportunity initially, and it really was. As a geographer, the course is very open-ended. It relates to, you know, humans and their interactions with the environment. That's an enormous topic. And after about 10 years in, I started kind of developing it in my own directions of my own interest. And one of the lectures that I put together, one of the 13 weeks of the semester, was a unit we did on terrorism and war. And this was in the year 2000, before 9/11. And so I did, you know, a fair bit of reading about this to put together my lecture notes, which I would always Xerox off and have the students purchase, because I could never get everything in a lecture. And that way they would have it as kind of a book. And so on my 911nwo.com and my gangstalkingmindcontrolcults.com websites, under the subheading, for 911nwo.com, the subheading is War on Terror. In the gangstalkingmindcontrolcults.com website, it's War of Terror, which is actually much more appropriate. You know, terrorism is the use of violence to threaten, intimidate into submission a domestic population, or the threat of violence. And it is a form of warfare. So, you know, can you have war on war? Well, only if you want permanent war. And of course, that is what the Pentagon wants. We're dealing with the world conquest system here now, the full spectrum dominance, global hegemony of the American empire. In fact, just before we get into this, let me just reference another YouTube, for instance, Professor Michael Chosudovsky, who said the war on terrorism is the greatest lie in American history. He has a YouTube or a short one that I'm looking at right now. It's coming off of a conference that was done, International Conference on the New World Order, A Recipe for War or Peace. And the title here, So-Called War on Terrorism is to Propagate U.S.-Led World Hegemony. So we have to look at the big picture. We have to also deconstruct the Orwellian lies that are so embedded in all of the media discussions now. And we'll get to that later. But let's get the big picture here. We're talking about global conquest, full spectrum dominance, and we're using this this huge lie to advance it. Of course, we used the war on communism, you know, all through the Cold War. That was also a huge lie, we know now, and I could talk about that, do another show on that, because the world's elite capitalists created communism, and terrorism is basically made in the USA. State-sponsored terrorism is far, far greater than any other kind of terrorism. We can talk about that. But let me just read this quote that's attributed to Joseph Goebbels, the Nazi head of the Ministry of Propaganda, who said, "A great nation needs great propaganda." And, of course, he's right. The U.S. has great propaganda. We call it the news. he says, "If you tell a lie big enough and keep repeating it, people will eventually come to believe it. The lie can be maintained only for such time as the state can shield the people from the political, economic, and/or military consequences of the lie. It thus becomes vitally important for the state to use all its powers to repress dissent." Okay, here we have the global Gestapo, or Gog's new Gestapo, or gang stalking, or whatever you want to call it. "For the truth is the mortal enemy of the state. The mortal enemy of the lie, and thus, by extension, the truth becomes the greatest enemy of the state." So, you know, this is one of the huge lies. 9/11 is one of the huge lies. Global warming is one of the huge lies that the intelligence agencies have concocted to control us. And again, we can go back to the Nazis. They had a term for worldview warfare, which was called, and I'll have a lousy German accent, but they called it Weltanschauungskrieg, worldview warfare, which is the science of coercion. 2 + 2 = 5, right? Right? If you don't believe it, we'll put you on the terrorist watch list and we'll gang stalk you and kill you. You know, no touch torture, slow kill, early death for you, buddy. This is the world we live in. We're living in a military police state. 9/11 is a pivotal event, one of many false flag, state-sponsored synthetic terror events that, you know, comes right out of the Pentagon. And the U.S. is ganged up, of course, as we pointed out, with Israel intimately in carrying out 9/11 itself. So, yeah, with that as an introduction, Andy, I'll shut my mouth and be glad to hear what this 19 minutes sounds like.
Thank you so much, Eric. And, yeah, folks, I'm just going to go to it now. So I'm going to mute Eric and I. And it's got a title, The Notorious Band, Fox 9/11 2001 News Footage, Israeli Mossad Links, and the comment at the top, the description rather, "This was aired, then immediately banned and removed from the Fox archives right after 9/11. A lot of people still have never seen it, and it is a must for the first step in the process." So here we go.
It has been more than 16 years since a civilian working for the Navy was charged with passing secrets to Israel. Jonathan Pollard pled guilty to conspiracy to commit espionage and is serving a life sentence. At first, Israeli leaders claimed Pollard was part of a rogue operation, but later took responsibility for his work. Now Fox News has learned some U.S. investigators believe that there are Israelis again very much engaged in spying in and on the U.S., who may have known things they didn't tell us before September 11th. Fox News correspondent Carl Cameron has details in the first of a four-part series.
Since September 11th, more than 60 Israelis have been arrested or detained, either under the new Patriot Anti-Terrorism Law or for immigration violations. A handful of active Israeli military were among those detained, according to investigators, who say some of the detainees also failed polygraph questions when asked about alleged surveillance activities against and in the United States. There is no indication that the Israelis were involved in the 9/11 attacks, but investigators suspect that the Israelis may have gathered intelligence about the attacks in advance and not shared it. A highly placed investigator said there are, quote, tie-ins, but when asked for details, he flatly refused to describe them, saying, quote, evidence linking these Israelis to 911 is classified. I cannot tell you about evidence that has been gathered. It's classified information. Fox News has learned that one group of Israelis, spotted in North Carolina recently, is suspected of keeping an apartment in California to spy on a group of Arabs who the United States is also investigating for links to terrorism. Numerous classified documents obtained by Fox News indicate that even prior to September 11th, as many as 140 other Israelis had been detained or arrested in a secretive and sprawling investigation into suspected espionage by Israelis in the United States. Investigators from numerous government agencies are part of a working group that's been compiling evidence since the mid-90s. These documents detail hundreds of incidents in cities and towns across the country that investigators say, quote, may well be an organized intelligence gathering activity. The first part of the investigation focuses on Israelis who say they are art students from the University of Jerusalem and Bezalel Academy. They repeatedly made contact with U.S. government personnel, the report says, by saying they wanted to sell cheap art or handiwork. Documents say they, quote, targeted and penetrated military bases, the DEA, FBI, and dozens of other government facilities, and even secret offices and unlisted private homes of law enforcement and intelligence personnel. The majority of those questioned, quote, stated they served in military intelligence, electronic surveillance intercept, and/or explosive ordnance units. Another part of the investigation has resulted in the detention and arrests of dozens of Israelis at American mall kiosks, where they've been selling toys called Puzzle Car and Zoomcopter. Investigators suspect a front. Shortly after the New York Times and Washington Post reported the Israeli detentions last month, the carts began vanishing. Zoomcopter's webpage says, "We are aware of the situation caused by thousands of mall carts being closed at the last minute. This in no way reflects the quality of the toy or its saleability. The problem lies in the operator's business policies." Why would Israelis spy in and on the U.S.? A General Accounting Office investigation referred to Israel as Country A and said, quote, according to a U.S. intelligence agency, the government of Country A conducts the most aggressive espionage operation against the U.S. of any U.S. ally. A defense intelligence report said Israel has a voracious appetite for information and, quote, the Israelis are motivated by strong survival instincts which dictate every facet of their political and economic policies. It aggressively collects military and industrial technology, and the U.S. is a high-priority target. The document concludes, quote, Israel possesses the resources and technical capability to achieve its collection objectives.
A spokesman for the Israeli embassy here in Washington issued a categorical denial, saying any suggestion that Israelis are spying in or on the U.S. is, quote, simply not true. There are other things to consider, and in the days ahead, we will take a look at the U.S. phone system and law enforcement's methods for wiretaps, and an investigation into the possibility that both have been compromised by our friends and allies overseas. Brett?
Carl, what about this question of advanced knowledge of what was going to happen on 9/11? How clear are investigators that some Israeli agents may have known something?
Well, it's very explosive information, obviously, and there's a great deal of evidence that they say they have collected, none of it necessarily conclusive. It's more when they put it all together. A bigger question, they say, is how could they not have known? Almost a direct quote, Brett.
Yeah, this going to the fact that they were spying on some Arabs, right?
Correct.
All right, Carl, thanks very much. We reported on the approximately 60 Israelis who had been detained in connection with the September 11th terrorism investigation. Carl Cameron reported that U.S. investigators suspect that some of these Israelis were spying on Arabs in this country and may have turned up information on the planned terrorist attacks back in September that was not passed on. Tonight, in the second of four reports on spying by Israelis in the U.S., we learn about an Israeli-based private communications company for whom a half dozen of those 60 detained suspects worked. American investigators fear information generated by this firm may have fallen into the wrong hands and had the effect of impeding the September 11th terror inquiry. Here's Carl Cameron's second report.
Fox News has learned that some American terrorism investigators fear certain suspects in the September 11th attacks may have managed to stay ahead of them by knowing who and when investigators are calling on the telephone. How? by obtaining and analyzing data that's generated every time someone in the U.S. makes a phone call.
One city and state, please.
Here's how the system works. Most directory assistance calls and virtually all call records and billing in the U.S. are done for the phone companies by Amdocs Limited, an Israeli-based private telecommunications company. Amdocs has contracts with the 25 biggest phone companies in America and more worldwide. The White House and other secure government phone lines are protected, but it is virtually impossible to make a call on normal phones without generating an Amdocs record of it. In recent years, the FBI and other government agencies have investigated Amdocs more than once. The firm has repeatedly and adamantly denied any security breaches or wrongdoing. But sources tell Fox News that in 1999, the super-secret National Security Agency, headquartered in Northern Maryland, issued what's called a top-secret, sensitive, compartmentalized information report, TSSCI, warning that records of calls in the United States were getting into foreign hands, in Israel in particular. Investigators do not believe calls are being listened to, but the data about who's calling whom and when is plenty valuable in itself. An internal Amdocs memo to senior company executives suggests just how Amdocs-generated call records could be used, quote, widespread data mining techniques and algorithms, combining both the properties of the customer, like credit rating, and properties of the specific behavior, such as whom the customers are calling. The Amdocs memo says the system should be used to prevent phone fraud, but U.S. counterintelligence analysts say it could also be used to spy through the phone system. Fox News has learned that the NSA has held numerous classified conferences to warn the FBI and CIA how Amdocs records could be used. At one NSA briefing, a diagram by the Argonne National Lab was used to show that if the phone records are not secure, major security breaches are possible. Another briefing document said, quote, it has become increasingly apparent that systems and networks are vulnerable. Such crimes always involve unauthorized persons or persons who exceed their authorization, acting on exploitable vulnerabilities. Those vulnerabilities are growing because, according to another briefing, the U.S. relies too much on foreign companies like Amdocs for high-tech equipment and software, quote, many factors have led to increased dependence on code developed overseas. We buy rather than train or develop solutions.
U.S. intelligence does not believe the Israeli government is involved in a misuse of Amdocs information, and Amdocs insists that its data is secure. What U.S. government officials are worried about, however, is the possibility that Amdocs data could get into the wrong hands, particularly organized crime, and that would not be the first time that such a thing has happened. Fox News has documents of a 1997 drug trafficking case in Los Angeles in which telephone information, the types that Amdocs collects, was used to, quote, completely compromise the communications of the FBI, the Secret Service, the DEA, and the LAPD. And we'll have that and a lot more in the days ahead, Brett.
Carl, I want to take you back to your report last night on those 60 people who were Israelis who were detained in the anti-terror investigation, and the suspicion that some investigators have that they may have picked up information on the 9/11 attacks ahead of time, not passed it on. There was a report, you'll recall, that the Mossad, the Israeli intelligence agency, did indeed send representatives to the U.S. to warn just before 9/11 that a major terrorist attack was imminent. Why does that not, how does that leave room for the lack of a warning?
Well, I remember the report, Britt. We did it first internationally right here on your show on the 14th. What investigators are saying is that that warning from the Mossad was nonspecific and general, and they believe that it may have had something to do with the desire to protect what are called sources and methods in the intelligence community, the suspicion being perhaps those sources and methods were taking place right here in the United States. The question came up in the Select Intelligence Committee on Capitol Hill today. They intend to look into what we reported last night, and specifically that possibility, Brett.
So, in other words, the problem wasn't the lack of a warning. The problem was lack of the useful details.
Quantity of information.
All right, Carl, thanks very much. Coming up next, Israeli-based company called Amdocs that generates the computerized records and billing data for nearly every phone call made in America. As Carl Cameron reported, U.S. investigators digging into the 9/11 terrorist attacks fear that suspects may have been tipped off to what they were doing by information leaking out of Amdocs. In tonight's report, we learned that the concern about phone security extends to another company founded in Israel that provides the technology that the U.S. government uses for electronic eavesdropping. Here is Carl Cameron's third report.
The company is Comverse Infosys, a subsidiary of an Israeli-run private telecommunications firm with offices throughout the U.S. It provides wiretapping equipment for law enforcement. Here's how wiretapping works in the U.S. Every time you make a call, it passes through the nation's elaborate network of switchers and routers run by the phone companies. Custom computers and software made by companies like Comverse are tied into that network to intercept, record, and store the wiretapped calls, and at the same time transmit them to investigators. The manufacturers have continuing access to the computers so they can service them and keep them free of glitches. This process was authorized by the 1994 Communications Assistance for Law Enforcement Act, or CALEA. Senior government officials have now told Fox News that while CALEA made wiretapping easier, it has led to a system that is seriously vulnerable to compromise and may have undermined the whole wiretapping system. Indeed, Fox News has learned that Attorney General John Ashcroft and FBI Director Robert Mueller were both warned October 18th in a hand-delivered letter from 15 local, state, and federal law enforcement officials who complained that, quote, law enforcement's current electronic surveillance capabilities are less effective today than they were at the time CALEA was enacted. Comverse insists the equipment it installs is secure, but the complaint about this system is that the wiretap computer programs made by Comverse have, in effect, a back door through which wiretaps themselves can be intercepted by unauthorized parties. Adding to the suspicions is the fact that in Israel, Comverse works closely with the Israeli government and under special programs gets reimbursed for up to 50% of its research and development costs by the Israeli Ministry of Industry and Trade. But investigators within the DEA, INS, and FBI have all told Fox News that to pursue or even suggest Israeli spying through Comverse is considered career suicide. And sources say that while various FBI inquiries into Comverse have been conducted over the years, they've been halted before the actual equipment has ever been thoroughly tested for leaks. A 1999 FCC document indicates several government agencies expressed deep concerns that too many unauthorized, non-law enforcement personnel can access the wiretap system. And the FBI's own nondescript office in Chantilly, Virginia, that actually oversees the CALEA wiretapping program, is among the most agitated about the threat. But there is a bitter turf war internally at FBI. It is the FBI's office in Quantico, Virginia, that has jurisdiction over awarding contracts and buying intercept equipment. And for years, they've thrown much of the business to Comverse. A handful of former U.S. law enforcement officials involved in awarding Comverse government contracts over the years now work for the company. Numerous sources say some of those individuals were asked to leave government service under what knowledgeable sources call troublesome circumstances that remain under administrative review within the Justice Department. And what troubles investigators most, particularly in New York, in the counterterrorism investigation of the World Trade Center attack, is that on a number of cases, suspects that they had sought to wiretap and surveil immediately changed their telecommunications processes. They started acting much differently as soon as those supposedly secret wiretaps went into place. Brett?
Carl, is there any reason to suspect in this instance that the Israeli government is involved?
No, there's not, but there are growing instincts and an awful lot of law enforcement officials in a variety of agencies who suspect that and have begun compiling evidence and a highly classified investigation into precisely that possibility. Brett?
All right, Carl, thanks very much.
On a long-standing government espionage investigation, federal officials this year have arrested or detained nearly 200 Israeli citizens suspected of belonging to a, quote, organized intelligence gathering operation. The Bush administration has deported most of those arrested after September 11th, although some are in custody under the new anti-terrorism law. Cameron also described an investigation into the possibility that an Israeli firm generated billing data that could be used for intelligence purposes and described concerns that the federal government's own wiretapping system may be vulnerable. Tonight, in part four of the series, we'll learn about the improbable roots of the probe, a drug case that went bad 4 years ago in L.A.
Los Angeles, 1997. A major local, state, and federal drug investigation sours. The suspects? Israeli organized crime, with operations in New York, Miami, Las Vegas, Canada, Israel, and Egypt. The allegations? Cocaine and ecstasy trafficking, and sophisticated white-collar credit card and computer fraud. The problem?
According to classified law enforcement documents obtained by Fox News, the bad guys had the cops' beepers, cell phones, even home phones under surveillance. Some who did get caught admitted to having hundreds of numbers and using them to avoid arrest. Quote, "This compromised law enforcement communications between LAPD detectives and other assigned law enforcement officers working various aspects of the case. The organization discovered communications between Organized Crime Intelligence Division detectives, the FBI, and the Secret Service. Shock spread from the DEA to the FBI in Washington and then the CIA. An investigation of the problem, according to law enforcement documents, concluded, quote, the organization has apparent extensive access to database systems to identify pertinent personal and biographical information. When investigators tried to find out where the information might have come from, they looked at Amdocs, a publicly traded firm based in Israel. Amdocs generates billing data for virtually every call in America, and they do credit checks. The company denies any leaks, but investigators still fear that the firm's data is getting into the wrong hands. When investigators checked their own wiretapping system for leaks, they grew concerned about potential vulnerabilities in the computers that intercept, record, and store the wiretapped calls. A main contractor is Comverse Infosys, which works closely with the Israeli government and under a special grant program is reimbursed for up to 50% of its research and development costs by Israel's Ministry of Industry and Trade. Asked this week about another sprawling investigation and the detention of 60 Israelis since September 11th, the Bush administration treated the questions like hot potatoes.
I will just refer you to Department of Justice with it. I'm not familiar with the report.
I'm aware that some Israeli citizens have been detained. With respect to why they are being detained and the other aspects of your question, whether it's because they are in intelligence services or what they were doing, I will defer to the Department of Justice and the FBI to answer that.
Beyond the 60 apprehended or detained and many deported since September 11th, another group of 140 Israeli individuals have been arrested and detained in this year in what government documents describe as, quote, an organized intelligence gathering operation designed to, quote, penetrate government facilities. Most of those individuals said they had served in the Israeli military, which is compulsory there, but they also had, most of them, intelligence expertise and either worked for Amdocs or other companies in Israel that specialize in wiretapping. Earlier this week, the Israeli embassy here in Washington denied any spying against or in the United States. Tony?
Carl, we've heard the comments from Ari Fleischer and Colin Powell. What are officials saying behind the scenes?
Well, there's real pandemonium described at both the FBI, the DEA, and the INS. A lot of these problems have been well known to some investigators, many of whom have contributed to the reporting on this story. And what they say is happening is supervisors and management are now going back and collecting much of the information because there's tremendous pressure from top levels of all of those agencies to find out exactly what's going on. At the DEA and the FBI already, a variety of administrative reviews are underway in addition to the investigation of the phenomenon. They want to find out how it is that all this has come out, as well as be very careful because of the explosive nature and very political ramifications of the story itself. Tony?
All right, Carl, thanks.
There you go, folks. So that is the four Carl Cameron reports that I refer to in my book. Eric, have you got any comments regarding what you just heard?
Sure. Well, you know, there's very little that is new to me there, Andy. I've got about 40 DVDs and videos about 9/11 and about that many books. And, of course, I've got a lot of information on my 911nwo.com website. Now, Fox and CNN were actually complicit in Operation 9/11. And what we heard there, you know, is little tidbits of truth. But the picture, of course, is much, much, much larger. So, in a sense, it's kind of a limited hangout. You know, you baffle them with details and, you know, baffle the audience, the public with the titillating details. And, you know, I would say that, you know, mostly Fox and CNN are reading scripts given to them by, you know, CIA and Mossad. You know, in other words, this is a tiny, tiny part of the story. And we have actually addressed these issues in an extended series quite recently called Structure is Strategy in Slow Motion. What's the rest of the title there, Andy? Structure is how the Jewish criminal syndicate controls the United States.
States. Yeah.
Yeah. October 2001, Ariel Sharon, who was the prime minister of Israel, said, hey, we control America. And so what you hear here is just a teeny, teeny, tiny part of a much, much bigger intelligence operation, which was probably 30 years in the making. And of course, we've gone through a lot of the details. The scripting was done by the Project for New American Century think tank, which is staffed by neoconservatives. That's a Jewish intellectual movement. And many of the principal people are Israeli-American dual citizens. Likewise, the guy, who made sure there was never an investigation, and that's Michael Chertoff, whose, uncle was a rabbi, and he's a dual American citizenship. And, then he went over and started Department of Homeland Security, which is a huge factor in the gang stalking now and making these phony terrorism watch lists with, now supposedly 3 million people who have had nothing to do with terrorism. All of this, of course, is supposed to be blaming the Muslims, who have nothing to do with this. The Muslims are, just a little bit out of the Stone Age technologically, but America and the Israelis, and especially Israel, extremely advanced technologically with Operation Talpiot, as you know. This is one way they intend to, get their way, is control of computer systems, like P-TECH in the United States, which, so many government agencies are all connected to this computer software system that the Israelis are deeply involved with. This is little minutia here and there. Yeah, sure, they had spies, but the bigger picture is Larry Silverstein, had purchased the World Trade Center, just a few months before the event of September 11th, and that was because, and he's a Jew and a friend of Netanyahu, and Silverstein is involved in all these Jewish lobby groups and organizations, and to talk to Netanyahu once a week. And the only reason he could do that for such a screaming deal was some other Jews, privatized the Port Authority buildings there, just a few months before that. So there's all these, amazing coincidences, which of course are not coincidences, because this is an operation that has been planned years in advance, and the primary culprits we've identified as Israel and American Jewry and the U.S. government interagency. So their control of the operation in the United States extended to the control of all the military branches and the United Nations. And, you go down the list of all those drills that Webster Tarpley identified, 46 drills on the day of and leading up to 9/11, which were carried out by many, many different, NATO, NASA, right down the line, NORAD, Air Force, especially Air Force. And these drills flipped live on the day of. Well, that of course is how they did the operation. So you can't say it's just Israel. You can't say it's just the United States. There's a coupling there of and the media, of course, complicit in the whole operation. Fox and CNN are showing these faked videos of planes going into the World Trade Center. These are just images inserted to images, really, because you have these unmanned aerial vehicles, drones, taking photos all over, Manhattan, and then they're able to make any viewpoint by digitally, manipulating the information in the photos, and then they can just put an image of a plane in there, and then they can, and the explosion was real for sure, and by the way, it happened to occur on floors that were owned by Jewish corporation and controlled by Jewish corporation. So, the connection between the U.S. government agencies and Israel is so interwoven, so tight. You can't see which one is which now. With John Bolton, he's our new national security advisor. He's one of these neocons that has been, railing to all to have these scripted wars in the Middle East, all of which benefit Israel, of course. Starting with Afghanistan and then Iraq and then Syria and then Libya and right on down the list, and now Iran this fall. I mean, he has been beating the drums of war ever since, before 9/11. Paul Wolfowitz, all these PNAC guys that are dual American Israeli citizens that wrote the Project for a New American Century, Rebuilding America's Defenses, which scripted all these wars in the Middle East and actually scripted 9/11 as the trigger event. We need a new Pearl Harbor to galvanize American public opinion so that Americans will be willing to double the defense budget. It was only $300 billion back in 2000. Now it's $800 billion a year. And, you know, this is the Goliath in the room. This is the elephant in the room. The U.S. Department of Defense controls America. And the corporations, see, they're all ganged up with the corporate sector. It's the military-industrial complex. But it's not just the military-industrial complex. It's the military-industrial, congressional, media, academic, Hollywood, you know, go on down the list. The whole country is involved now with this full-spectrum dominance project of the world. And terrorism now is the excuse. Oh, we got to get those Arabs. Well, it's because the Arabs are sitting on oil-rich countries. And they are the enemies of the Israelis because Israel took their, you know, took their country, Palestine. And so, and the lies just go on and on and on. It's refreshing and interesting to hear that, that 19 minutes, it's much of it is what you call disinformation in the sense that there is, you know, maybe 80% truth and 20% lies. You know, the question from one to the other was, is there evidence that Israel might actually be involved in 9/11? And the guy says no, but there's a lot of experts that think maybe it is. Okay, so that's Orwellian reversal, isn't it? He says no, yes. It was for sure. I mean, the 2020 hindsight, you know, the work of Christopher Bolin solving 9/11. You know, he lays it completely at the feet of Israel. But then Webster Tarpey lays it at the interagency in the United States. And I say, hey, it's both. You know, it's got to be both. The United States is controlled economically by Israel. Probably Israel has used the nuclear option, the sanction option to blackmail the United States and other countries for years, saying, hey, we're going to do the Samson option. If you don't go along with this, we're going to start, you know, blowing up our 400 nuclear bombs on our neighbors. I mean, they are that aggressive, that confrontational, that crazy. And now it appears they want to go ahead and invade Iran, bringing us to the brink of World War III again. And this is very serious this fall, because the whole political system is lined up now for this confrontation. And Trump is going right along with it. His son-in-law, Jared Kushner, is on all these committees. He's got no political experience whatsoever, but of course he's a Jew and connected to the Jewish world power structure. So, Israel's intimately involved in all of this. And we in America get so much disinformation, lies from our media, Fox and CNN especially. They were actually complicit. They were actually part of the operation. And, you know, these little dribbles of information are very interesting. But you have to look much, much deeper to find the clues. And Michelle Chesedovsky, of course, had a journal about 9/11 for years. And I've got a website, which I've been working on for years. So the only way to cut through the flotsam and jetsam of disinformation really is to read a whole lot of books and get a whole lot of information. And then the patterns emerge, then the clues start to come together. And we have a world that's managed, you know, by intelligence agencies, Mossad, CIA, MI6. These guys are writing the scripts. They're planning the operations, and these are covert operations. They're covert because they're criminal. They're breaking laws right and left. This is a crime against humanity, 9/11, and because of Michael Chertoff, who was assistant head of Department of Justice on the day of 9/11, there was never a trial. He made sure of that, and he destroyed the evidence. This is a dual American Israeli citizen. And then he moves right over and becomes head of Department of Homeland Security, which is running all these bogus operations against people like me who are telling the truth. So I'm a targeted individual. This is how they do it. They put you, somebody reports you for something, and then they automatically put you on the, you know, terrorism watch list, and then you're under surveillance. You're under the military police state. You're attacked, you know, with all kinds of low and high tech non-lethal weapons. You're attacked with the street theater. You're attacked with the COINTELPRO type FBI policy. So when they interview somebody from the FBI, that means nothing. The FBI has rigged the terrorism watch list. They are actually criminally complicit in identifying and attacking innocent American citizens. They concocted the phony war on terrorism. I did have here's a little something from the book called The Terror Factory, Inside the FBI's Manufactured War on Terrorism. Let me just read you a little bit here. He says, by August 2011, this is Trevor Aronson, with nearly 10 years of terrorism prosecution since 9/11, we had a database of 508 defendants whom the U.S. government considered terrorists. The way the data broke down was illuminating. Of the 508 defendants, 243 had been targeted through an FBI informant. 158 had been caught in an FBI terrorism sting, and 49 had encountered an agent provocateur. Most of the people who didn't face off against an informant were directly involved with weren't directly involved with terrorism at all, but were instead Category 2 offenders, small-time criminals with distant links to terrorists overseas. 72 of these Category 2 offenders had been charged with making false statements, while 121 had been prosecuted for immigration violations. Of the 508, this is 508 people, and we spend billions, many hundreds of billions. We have now the National Security Enterprise going after terrorism, and this is what all they have after 10 years, 508, and most of them are reported by FBI stings and FBI informants. Of the 500 cases, I could count on one hand the number of actual terrorists, such as failed New York City subway bomber Najibullah Zazi, who posed a direct and immediate threat to the United States. The whole thing is a gigantic fraud. And of course, this is all to usher in this global Gestapo, this military police state. And here's what Aronson says. What became clear from my reporting is that in the decade since 9/11, the FBI has built the largest network of spies ever to exist in the United States, with 10 times as many informants on the streets today as there were during the infamous COINTELPRO operations in the 50s, 60s, and 70s under FBI Director Edgar Hoover, with the majority of these spies focused on ferreting out terrorism in Muslim communities. So always the target is the Muslims. And that comes from the 1979 first ever international conference on terrorism held in Jerusalem, presided over by Benjamin Netanyahu and other terrorists such as Menachem Begin and Rabin, all these guys from Poland who came down to populate, these are Khazar Jews, came down from Poland to populate the new state of Israel in what was Palestine for, you know, almost 2,000 years. These guys were terrorists, and they brag about it. Menachem Begin said that they were in the Stern Gang and the Irgun Gang, and they blew up the British King David Hotel, and they you know, chased tens of thousands, hundreds of thousands of Palestinians out of their homes and towns, and they committed mass murder at Deir Yassin and various places like that. This is well documented. The Irgun terrorist gang, I think that was Begin. You know, Begin bragged that he invented terrorism, which, of course, he didn't. Terrorism is use of violence to intimidate and control domestic populations and scare them into submission. And, of course, that's what they've been doing. That's what they're doing now. Israel is a terrorist state. The United States is a terrorist state. The United States is the greatest terrorist in the world. Israel's right up there because they're joined at the hip. Here's what it says. The FBI's thousands of informants and billions of dollars have not resulted in the capture of dozens of killers ready and able to bomb a crowded building or gun down people in a suburban shopping mall. Instead, the FBI's trawling in Muslim communities has resulted largely in sting operations that target easily susceptible men on the margins of society, men like Michael Curtis Reynolds. Since 9/11, the FBI and the Justice Department have labeled as terrorists a mentally troubled man who worked at Walmart, a video game store clerk whose only valuable possession was a set of stereo speakers, a university student who was about to be evicted from his apartment, and a window washer who had dropped out of college, among others. All of these men who were involved in FBI terrorism stings in which an informant came up with the idea and provided the necessary means and opportunity for the terrorist plot. In other words, the FBI is cooking this whole thing up. And then it's calling American citizens like myself terrorists. Well, a terrorist is anybody the government doesn't like. It's anybody that is an enemy of the state. You know, it's the new communist. They use communism. Our Benz in Guatemala is a communist. We gotta do a CIA operation and remove him. You know, Mossadegh's a communist in Iran in 1953. We got to do a CIA operation and get him out of there. Well, these guys were nationalists, but they always called them communists. Now the pejorative of choice, you know, the term of choice is terrorist. And we don't do terrorism. We do counterterrorism. Well, that's just, you know, Orwellian doublespeak, because counterterrorism and terrorism are the same thing, you know. So the United States policy is, terrorism. And that's to, you know, intimidate domestic populations into submission. 9/11 was an instance of trauma-based mind control directed against the whole public. And all of that comes, you know, from years and years and years of mind control research coming out of, well, the Tavistock Institute of Human Relations in London and the CIA's MK Ultra and Project Bluebird and Operation Artichoke. And I mean, they have worked on mind control and, for 100 years now as psychological warfare. This is psychological warfare. And it gets very, very brutal. And we'll talk about that next time, Andy. I've been going on and on because there's so much to say. I'll turn it back to you if you have a comment there.
Yes. Well, no, Eric, I was really pleased to hear your comments there because it was a real lengthy clip to play. It was kind of one that I wanted to get in there just because, I remember this Carl Cameron footage. But I agree. It was actually initially aired, folks, on December the 12th, 2001. So basically a couple of months after the event. But it didn't focus so much on 9/11 as, you know, Israeli involvement, how they basically admitted that Israel have got access to all of your phone records in America and Mossad links and stuff like that. It was actually AIPAC that got Fox News to take the footage down. I agree that when you compare that with the sort of work you and I have uncovered, it's a very small drop in the ocean. I agree that there was psyop in there about, we're not saying Israel. Well, we're involved in 9/11. Oh, no, of course we're not, you know. But it did amaze me. Firstly, there was obviously a level of detail that they went into that made AIPAC uncomfortable. Otherwise, why get them to pull it when they kept repeatedly saying, oh, but they weren't involved, they weren't involved. So there was something there that they didn't like. And the main reason for playing it on the programme, as I said earlier on, is if it gets scrubbed, at least you've got it in this show. And you can watch it as well, the link's there, but you don't get a great deal more out of watching it than hearing it. So that's kind of all I have to say about that bit, Eric. I think it's a useful document. I'm surprised. I mean, have you got any thoughts as to why they even put that out in the first place when AIPAC came in and got it taken off the website soon afterwards? It seems strange how that slipped through the censor's fingers.
Yeah, of course, you know, in the videos that I have on 9/11 and other related topics, you know, your best footage comes, you know, right at the moment of the event, because that's when the most honest attempt to understand it occurs, especially at the local news level, you know, because they're not all controlled. And then what happens, of course, is that the politically sensitive clips get removed, as you've noticed, you know. But yeah, if you know, and the people that are, you know, working hard to get the truth, they're, you know, they're going through archives of local news shows and finding these tidbits when they can, you know, usually right the day of or the day after. That's when the best information occurs. But, you know, going back to AIPAC, there was a congressman in the 70s who said the CIA is Tinker Toys compared to AIPAC. You know, in other words, they're more powerful than the CIA. And I don't believe that, but he's making a point that they're extremely powerful. And they intimidate, you know, and control large parts of our cultural and political world. I've actually seen little glimpses of that here and there. And of course, they do it by controlling the media to a large extent. Which stories are going to get play? You know, let's say Israel invades Syria like it did several years ago and has been doing for quite a while. Well, then they, you know, then they call the AIPAC guy, and I've seen this in operation, actually, or the girl, could be a pretty diminutive blonde, you know, say, well, what are we going to do about this? How are we going to keep this, you know, from the American public? Well, let's put out a story about, you know, this, that, and the other, and that'll get the headlines on all the media, you know, and sure enough, they put out a story about two young women who were, you know, kidnapped and controlled in this guy's house for many years. And the story was, you know, kind of a personal story about their trauma. Well, okay, you know, but that got all the attention. So as I was driving across the country, you know, and just going little coffee shops and whatnot, I mean, this is what's on all the TVs. And that's what all the waitresses are talking about, this story. Nobody's looking at the fact that Israel is, you know, bombing the hell out of Syria. So this is how it's done. You know, look here, don't look here. And they have the control. They have the power. This is mind control. This is propaganda. This is a very sophisticated system that they, and you know, again, where does the CIA stop and the Mossad begin? Difficult to say for me. I think the Five Eyes, the spy agencies, and Israel are almost one and the same. You know, Israel, I think, wags the, you know, is the tail that wags the dog with the United States, but it's also wagging these other Five Eyes countries. And it's going for the whole enchilada in the Middle East. It wants a greater Israel, you know, Eretz Israel, which was the original vision of Ben-Gurion, David Ben-Gurion in 1948, with the establishment of the State of Israel, was to have the State of Israel go from the Tigris-Euphrates in Iraq to the Nile River in Egypt, and that's represented. That would be greater Israel. And of course, they'd have to take their neighbor's country to do that, as they've already shown a propensity to do. And those two rivers then represent the blue bars on the Israeli flag, which is designed by the Rothschilds. And then, of course, in the middle, they have the quote-unquote Star of David, which is the Star of Remphan, a highly occult symbol, Satanist symbol. So we're dealing with the synagogue of Satan, as you know all too well, and with a long, long history. And they have a plan. And the plan is to take over the world and turn it into Satan's kingdom. And it works on the political level. It works on the spiritual level at the same time. Very confusing to sort out which is which, but it's operating together. The New World Religion is supposed to be the worship of Satan. All I can say is we need to do everything we can to resist this. You know, an extra day of not living under under that regime is going to be a benefit to all humans on the planet.
Thank you very much, Eric. Yes, I completely agree. It is a duty that we all have, whether you're doing shows or you're listening. You know, if you can spread this message, if you can support Eric's work or my work, please do so. Go to ericcarlstrom.com. That's the way that you can support Eric, by buying some of his music, available in different formats. Of course, I've played several of his pieces, his songs and what have you on this program, and he's even played live on this program, which is the only musician we've had play live, which was nice. I think we're gonna do some more shows on this topic, aren't we, Eric?
Yeah, you know, the I think we should. This will be the Phony War on Terror episode one, and then we can have some more. Certainly this is the you know, this is the driving force. This phony war on terrorism is the driving force between all these you know, the current battle against the Muslim world, you know, to advance the goals of Israel, of course, and the corporations, particularly the oil companies, because they happen to be sitting on a lot of, you know, but 90% of the world's oil, and in the Middle East. And of course, it's also the justification for this draconian global police state, which is coming down around our ears, of which the gang stalking is certainly a notable part. But it's much bigger than the gang stalking. The gang stalking is horrendous and evil, but it's a much bigger system than that. It's a global Gestapo which is being set up. And again, the war on terror is the excuse, just like the war on communism was the excuse for all those, the Cold War. Now everything is under this banner of the war on terror. So, you know, to deconstruct and to disprove the basis for this phony war, I think it's very important. Right now, I would say the war on terror industry or the national security enterprise in America, you know, is worth the probably hundreds of billions to trillions of dollars a year, all based on this gigantic lie or this series of gigantic lies. And we can easily, very easily point out that these are lies. I mean, it's so simple, but people are afraid to go there, you know, because, you know, oh gosh, I might be put on the terrorism watch list. So this is what you call implicit and explicit terrorism. Explicit terrorism, oh, if you get watchlisted and then you're gang stalked, that's terrorism against the individual who's, you know, a dissident or is a truth teller. But then if you're, you know, my friend or my family and or anybody else who says, oh, look at that, you know, that guy's getting targeted, maybe I better keep my mouth shut and my head in the sand, you see. So that's the implicit terrorism. So this is, you know, in fact, the terrorists are this, you know, the United States, Israel, and the nations now. The governments of the world are, and the enemies of those governments are the domestic populations. We are reclassified as enemy combatants legally now. And we need to, you know, we need to excavate the truth. We need to show these laws, which are all in violation of the Constitution, and therefore null and void, according to Madison and Marbury of 1803, which says all laws, you know, repugnant to the Constitution are null and void. All these, you know, National Defense Authorization Act, Patriot Act, go down the list of hundreds of bogus executive orders and laws that have been passed, you know, over the last 20, 30 years. All this is criminal. All, you know, so we now have a nation that's run by a criminal syndicate. The nation has become a criminal syndicate. I guess that's not surprising. We know the criminal syndicate is the banksters, the Bankensteins, and the CFR, and the, you know, roundtable groups, et cetera, that serve the international bankers who, you know, are members of this tribe that believes they have a destiny to rule the world. And I believe they don't. It's as simple as that.
Thank you, Eric. Fantastic show as always. I want to thank you for joining me today. I want to thank all of you for listening. I will, of course, be back with you all tomorrow. And until then, folks, bye for now.
You have been listening to The Andrew Carrington Hitchcock Show, a new show every day of the year on the Eurofolk Radio Network. If you'd like to support Andy's work, please go to his website, andrewcarringtonhitchcock.com, where his book, The Synagogue of Satan, is available in an updated, expanded, and uncensored edition.